was that pointy-eared bastard? Welcome to the science fiction rating system, where we rank science fiction films from 0 to 100. No,
infinity.
Don't limit us. 1 to infinity. Okay,
that's the thing.
That's the catchphrase.
Yeah. That's the catchphrase.
We got there.
It's been a while.
So yeah, I think I'm coming down with the flu. So you're gonna have to support me on this one, guys.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay. That's okay.
So today, I'm Chris, and we've got Alex and Sam over there. How's it going?
Yeah, all right.
Not bad.
It's been a couple of weeks since we recorded.
Yeah, it's been a little while. Little break.
I went to La La Land and back.
Oh, what did you do? What did you see?
Did we record since I've been from La La Land?
No, we haven't recorded.
No.
Just chilled out, really. Hung out, you know. Took some meetings. Nice. Drove some, you know, did the Larry David, just driving around. going to restaurants, whatever.
Nice. Nice. Any news? Any hot news?
Not really. Not really. Not from my
side. Any sightings?
Was there any sightings? I don't think there was this time. I don't think there was. Normally I only sight, like, English people. Because I, like, recognise them and then they go to the same places I would go.
I think the gold bar is when you pushed Jay-Z in a pool, didn't you? Wasn't that?
Or no, I splashed him.
You splashed and that was it, yeah. That's the high mark.
We saw the Prime Minister in Soho House last time. Like, literally, we were having lunch on a Sunday, going to the toilet, and he's in there.
Wow.
I was like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, get back to work.
Yeah, literally. But, you know, he could just hang out there completely, you know, no one would recognise him.
That's weird. That's weird.
And you just see, like, complete, like, losery English people there, like Anton Deck and shit. Like, they just because no one knows who they are.
Nice.
Cool. So, we are doing the Star Trek reboot of 2009.
We got the way there, didn't we? We've done all the others. Although, aren't there some, didn't we say there's some we can go back to because we did them on three
parts? I think we're
going
to have to, yeah.
Three, four. Oh. No. 2, 3, and 4 we could watch again. We've watched 2 again.
Oh, okay.
So 3 and 4 we can watch again.
We must have done 2 a few times.
Yeah, we've done 2 twice, yeah. But 3 and 4. It'd be good to watch Voyage Home. Give that a proper episode length.
Yeah.
2, 3, and 4 are a trilogy, right?
So we watched them all in one episode originally.
Yeah.
We watched all three of those in one
go. Yeah,
so.
Okay. We did redid 2, definitely. But yeah, 3 and 4.
We don't need to watch 3 again, but 4's.
So this is after... What was it? Nemesis that killed the franchise?
Yeah.
Killed the franchise?
Well, also Enterprise killed the TV side, didn't it, as well? So it's all dead at this point. Yeah. Everything's dead.
They completely fucked it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a different era. It was when people were like, oh, let's have some new ideas. There must be new ideas out there. And it turns out there ain't.
No, that
was. So we've gone back to Star Trek
now. That
wasn't
the way forward. Do you remember that time when everyone thought new ideas were the way forward? No, that wasn't the way forward. It was going back to all the old ideas that was the way forward.
Yeah.
Who knew?
When you stopped doing like series on TV like Star Trek and started doing like fucking Lost and Heroes and this bullshit, it never ends.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the attempted reboot by J.J. Abrams. Was this his first big movie?
No, he'd done Super 8 by this point.
Oh, yeah, Mission Impossible 3.
Yes.
Which was a hit, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Come off Lost and got into this. Didn't direct Cloverfield, did he?
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he's a writer all the way back, isn't he, into the 90s.
Like, he wrote Armageddon.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this brings back basically the original series time era, but with new a cast of new young characters, basically playing the Kirk, Spock, McCoy sort of thing.
It's not a bad. I'll say straight off the bat, I'll lay my stall out. I don't think it's a bad idea. When it comes to a reboot, I don't think this is a bad idea, what they've done.
Well, this was like one of the first reboots, but it turns out that it's actually all the same multiverse.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is interesting as well.
Which I don't know whether it was approached in that way.
Yeah.
But I guess it is, because it is in the story of the film, isn't it?
Yeah,
that
yeah,
it's connected
yeah.
to the original yeah. Prime yeah. universe.
I agree, that idea of having the catalyst for the film be something that lets you do what you like, but still be in canon, is a clever
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, super clever.
Yeah.
There's things I don't like about it, but I actually, like, I'll set my stall out. I think it's a well, like, put together, paced film compared to some of the other shit is done in Star Wars universe. Yes.
I'll say that when I saw it at the cinema, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Me too. I went 2 or 3 times.
Ooh, yeah, I think I saw it twice.
The sound is incredible. Like, the sound design, I thought was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
The music gets on top of you a little bit, because that guy, what's his name, who does it all, does all these films now, isn't he? He's the new Michael Giacchino.
Yeah.
He has these themes, and they really do fucking ram it down your throat. By the end of it, it's like, yeah, I've heard this theme.
Also, like, he'll play the theme, run out of ideas, and they'll just bang one note for ages. Like, going bang, 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 bang. And that gets really old.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
And then this was stylistically one of the first movies where we were just blasting the camera with light beams.
Oh, yeah, that gets... I mean, that's funny, isn't it? Because I think at the time I was like, ooh. And now that feels like... It's like the whole trailer with the wah trailers. That one, there was a point when that was like, ooh. And now it's just like, it's really... That's just annoying. The lens flare thing is a bit annoying. Especially when you know that it's completely... Like, they have to put them on. Don't they? They do it deliberately.
Yeah.
That's what's more annoying. I think
at least the lens flare fits the very clean style of the ship design stuff in this film.
Yeah.
The physical, what they've got there, the lens flare suits it very well, I think.
Yeah.
Whereas later films perhaps doesn't.
Yeah.
I've got other problems with the cinematography and stuff, but that seems...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Cool. It's a lot of, it's stuff that it would flare off, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then consequently, off the back of all this, we've had all sorts of new series which are sort of up below it, to the side of it, around it, in a different universe, blah, blah, blah. And I wouldn't be at all surprised, because they're going back to make more films with these guys now, that we might get a Marvel situation where we've got fucking Patrick Stewart and all this lot.
Well, so, there was... Do you know that there was a comic that tried to link it all in with Next Generation? Did you know this?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it basically, it's all this stuff like... where is it? I've got it here somewhere. Where is it? It's got the, like, Worf... like, Geordi made that ship, you know? Spock's ship.
Yeah.
That Geordi made that.
Yeah.
And it's like... It's a four-thing comic, and it basically links it all up into the Next Generation world.
I mean, I do like how Star Trek can be this sort of universe, and it makes sense. I don't like how they try and close all the circles around, so actually there's only about 12 people that run the universe.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, so we start off where we are with an older-looking ship, I guess.
The Kelvin.
It's got a... What's it? A saucer.
Oh, it's got the Avengers. Two... It's up the side. It's like one side
on top,
it?
One below.
Yeah, I like that.
Doesn't make a lot of sense, that design.
It looks cool, though.
Compared to Gene Roddenberry's inventions. But, yeah, so this is the USS Kelvin. They're back in 2233. I'm not quite sure how that jives with things like Discovery and all that. So they are... They figure out there's an anomaly in space...
Mm.
And then this huge ship comes out of it, and I do like that first bridge, that very gritty, dark. It actually feels like a warship, doesn't it? It's like you've got lots of sounds all over the place of people talking.
Yeah,
the Federation Bridge.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah, Starfleet Bridge. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
The other ship is terrible.
Oh, I hate
the design of that. Is awful.
I hate that other ship.
I know they were going for like it needs to look completely mental because it's from the future compared to them. And there'd be no reason, you know, the shapes of it seem to be very alien, and why would you make a mining ship in that shape?
But that's it, why would you?
Yeah, I hate that ship.
But they're trying to show that it is, like, from the future. It's from, you know...
Well, they forgot how to build things.
I think it looks like... The inside of that ship looks like every post-apocalyptic film's, like, base. Yeah. You know, when they get to, like, the Mad Max base, or, like, the mutant space.
It's like a platform game. It's just platforms, like, in space.
It reminded me of Nemesis, the ship that...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it really does, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was Romulan too, so it should. And then the yeah, so the captain goes over. Is the captain goes over on that one?
Yeah.
And leaves Kirk, James
Senior.
James Tiberius Kirk.
Chris Hemsworth.
No, what's he called? Is that called James?
Thomas or something?
Barry. Kirk.
Barry Kirk leaves George.
George Kirk. That's
George Kirk in control. So,
yeah,
it's quite jarring
that it's Chris Hemsworth. I think I know he.
I think it's great though.
It's good.
It's supposed to be Matt Damon.
Yeah. Oh, was it? Oh, okay. Mm. It's good that it's Chris Hemsworth. I don't have a problem. It's just because he's so famous now. He wasn't that famous then. But
weren't they going to make? Wasn't Star Trek 4 going to be a time travel one with him? Wasn't it? Back in it.
So goes over. Captain's killed, but then it and then basically this ship gets blown up. So we see like a battle.
Yeah, so it's a good start.
Quite a good start, but we also crucially see that his wife getting on a shuttle. To escape. In the nick of time. I mean, that whole sequence, I think, is like a really excellent sort of setup sequence, isn't it? Yeah. It's like, it does everything for everyone.
Yep.
You've got some spaceships blowing up. You've got some proper story, some characters connected to old characters you might know. And we've also got a bit of a love story here because they do this whole thing on the radio. And then you set up with, and then basically there's a birth on the radio as it happens.
And there's a very nice long shot of the ship kind of exploding and the shuttles going off. That's a really beautiful shot.
And there's still a shake on that as well. You can tell because he, like, J.J. Abrams, like, had a handle put on the side of the camera, and he, every now and again, he just was reaching over and just doing that, like just shaking it three or four times.
What's the name? If you know the shots where it's really wide and they pretend they've just caught sight of the thing zoomed in, they crash zoom in. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They do that all the time. They're like, oh, stupid.
Well, I'm putting one in my film right now. So.
But your film is a documentary crew, isn't it? It makes sense. Yeah. Whereas this film, they're not actually in the world, the cameras, are they? It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Well, I think with the flare and the shake, they're kind of selling that's the contrivance that maybe the camera is a little bit more in the universe. Mm.
Weird. But that's ridiculous, isn't it?
Because it is ridiculous.
Like, it's like in your film, it is, so it makes sense. Yeah. That's where it should be. But
So then we zoom to the future, where we it's Vulcan first. Vulcan.
No, it's Iowa first. We meet
the kids. James
two Kirk. Angry children.
Yeah, yes. The kid.
A ten-year-old Kirk. He's 10.
He's weird looking, that little Kirk.
He's supposed to be 10.
This was on the trailer, wasn't it?
This? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I really like Sabotage by the Beastie Boys, but this kind of ruined. It's like all producers saw it and was like, oh, let's just use that in our film now.
Yeah.
Like forever. It just gets.
Have you seen the third one, Alex?
I can't.
It's in the third bring one. It back for about 10 minutes in that film. Yeah, like the climax of the film, it plays over the climax.
Really? Yeah.
It's so stupid.
It's a bit weird. Yeah. I like the future cop's future bike.
I think in the trailer, his face isn't covered. Then in the film, they put like a robot face on him.
Oh, it looks really cool.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I like all that.
Well, it does make a lot of sense, but anyway. And then we go to Vulcan and see the young Spock, don't we? Who's going through his training.
I think
this kid's really good, actually.
Yeah, he's good. He gets bullied, and I wrote down, because they call his dad a traitor and his mum a human whore. And I wrote down, like, oh, that's not very Vulcan to bully someone. But actually,
they are kids, though.
Well, yeah, and actually, it says, the scene in which Spock is bullied by the other Vulcan children for his human heritage was described by Spock's mother, Amanda, in Journey to Babel, 1967, and depicted in a cartoon form in Yesteryear, 1973. Yeah, so this is actually from two separate other...
Yeah.
So I was like, okay.
Remember, Vulcans have to go through the training to suppress their emotions.
Yes.
When they're kids, they're probably
I think that's what I was confusing.
Little bastards.
That's why they suppress it, because they're all just like this.
That's probably true.
When whoever called him a pointy-eared bastard, they were being completely correct.
Yeah, it's true.
So then we jump forward some into the future again.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the bar. We meet Captain Pike, played by who's that? Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce Greenwood. Watson,
I think he's great. I think Captain Pike is one of the best characters in Star Trek, because he's like a proper positive male character, yeah. and they can't change that, and that's great.
Yeah, yeah. And also just someone doing their job well, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
he's just good. No bravado or anything. Yeah. Just he's just good at what he does.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So obviously Kirk's a bit of a washout loser at this point.
Yeah.
But he's sort of figured out he's in their history. He knows that his dad was a hero, and he talks him into joining Starfleet. Now, I do find it kind of far-fetched that you can basically be a complete washout, a complete loser, and then within 2 or 3 years, you can basically get into a very good university, assuming this is quite a sought-after job.
Yeah. Because they're not at war or anything. They're not desperate for cadets or anything, are they?
Think how many humans there must be at that point.
Yeah.
His whole, like, rise is... doesn't make it much sense at all, does it? It's really, again, as there's about 12 people in Starfleet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the whole Star Trek economy is quite difficult to explain because it's like they're post-scarcity, but still there's some jobs where you have to go into space and get killed.
Yeah.
And everyone wants to do that. And they seem to have gotten rid of all the bad parts of humanity.
Go on. You know the Starfleet cadet uniforms?
Yeah.
I don't think they'd get away with the women's ones even now, would they? They're very, very short, those skirts, don't you think?
Is it supposed to be a callback to the original
series? It is, isn't it? It totally is, but I just feel like 2009 was a long time away. I think
they did put some men in them as well, like they did in TNG, so I think it's okay.
Okay, yeah.
You know, the TNG had the skirts on the men sometimes when you saw them walking in the corridors.
Yeah. I love the costume design in this. I think how clean everything looks, and everything's fitted so well, isn't it? It feels futuristic, and
quality,
neat it looks. Quality. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the first time I think where I've actually seen quality with Star Trek, because actually it always seems on the edge of a little bit janky.
It's not like Generations where they're all in the wrong size suits and stuff.
Literally,
it's been done properly.
So he goes. Oh, he also meets McCoy.
Yeah,
when he signs up.
I think he's the best character.
I don't like his impression.
No, I think it's quite good.
No, I really like him. I really like.
They're all trying to do impressions of people, by the way.
I can see that is kind of see. Yeah, so when I said I think it's a really good way of doing it, I agree with myself. But also, it does mean that people fall into this trap in varying degrees. Some come to the Zoe Saldana was just like, I don't know anything about Star Trek. I'll just give it a go because my mum likes Star Trek and I'm an actress and I'm working. And then you get people like Simon Pegg who are like, oh, I'm the biggest nerd ever. I bloody love it. I'm going to I'm going to try and learn a Glaswegian accent or all that. And it's just annoying.
And fail.
Yeah. And then I think, you know, like Carl Urban's kind of in the middle of, he's evoking McCoy. I guess he is kind of the cliche of it, but that is that character and it is fun. It is. I thought it was a bit weird that they say that he's called Bones because he makes that weird comment about him being divorced and then it says Leonard McCoy mentions joining Starfleet after a divorce. This refers to DC Fontana's, one of the original series writers, backstory for McCoy, written for the third season but never filmed. That unused subplot established his failed marriage and also McCoy's daughter Joanna. So again, it really weirdly is actually, because I thought it was a bit of a rubbish reason why it was called that.
You'll never get Star Trek on the writing. No. Like, they don't fuck about. Like, there is such a depth of knowledge.
Yeah,
because hiring a writer who knows about Star Trek must be the easiest thing in the world, mustn't it? Because there's just so many geeks.
It's only that Alex Kurtzman who's completely put it in the toilet more recently.
Well, he wrote this.
Did he?
Him and the other guy.
I'm thinking of someone else.
No, you're right. It is him. You're right. Yeah. But I will say, I think there's two voices in this script. I think there are. I think you can see a lot of him in it, the bad sides of it. And the other guy is Roberto Orchard, obviously brought in a bit more.
Yeah. I don't know why they're building the Enterprise on the ground. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because even now we know you have to, like, build in space.
Yeah, that is a bit weird.
And
yeah.
I don't know why they're writing, because in the trailer as well, they showed this sequence, didn't they, of, like, the build up to the film was quite a big build up, wasn't it? It was like, but it was like, why are they writing Enterprise on some of the debt on some of the like side of it when half of it's not even built yet? Don't you build it and then you paint it?
Yeah, you'd think.
Maybe they couldn't book the painters in at that point. They had to get the painters in. Like,
launch it through the atmosphere. Yeah, like, painters,
mate, we've got other jobs to do. You said us to turn up. We're going to be here. We're going to paint it if it's not ready or not. Sorry.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all, that bit.
Yeah.
So they join. Oh, yeah. So as they're joining, they show. Oh, sorry. In their course, they show him do this test, which is the Kobayashi Maru, which is. I think we see that in Star Trek 2. Right?
Wrath of the Khan.
Yeah, Wrath of the Khan.
Yeah.
I love
which
that.
Which is like the unbeatable test.
Yeah.
You can't win.
I quite like how they use it in this. I mean, it's the same idea. It establishes Kirk as being this kind of, cocky. Doesn't, he goes on.
I mean, when he eats that apple, he looks so much like Kirk. Fucking.
He does.
What's his face?
Yeah.
I've still got a problem with this thing, though, that he cheats on this test. I said it in Wrath of Khan. I don't think it makes any sense. Like,
why?
It's just not a good. How is that anything a good quality?
Because they'd immediately know he's a cheat, right? Because
and they
seem to.
Yeah, they do.
They seem to immediately know he's a cheat. Yeah. No one's gone, he's won.
Yeah, because you can't win it.
What's he proving, though?
Maybe he didn't know you couldn't.
He's saying, like, he doesn't believe in no-win scenarios, so he cheats, right?
Yeah.
But in a real no-win scenario, he couldn't just cheat, could he?
Yeah.
That's what frustrates about it.
I've just realised that apple thing is in Wrath of Khan, when they're stuck in the asteroid.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, I don't believe in a no-win, and he has a bite of the apple.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But is it just...
That's a great scene.
Is it just that Kirk just has to prove he's better than everyone, and this is the ultimate way of proving that, because he beats an unbeatable test?
I get that, but like the way they like portray it as like this is like a really positive bit of Kirk. I don't think it is. I think
with him being youthful, the full arc of this is youthfully he can cheat and he thinks that's acceptable to break the system. But then when he's older, something bad happens, like Spock dies. And then he realises that he can't control the universe, or his son gets killed.
That was
in the old films.
Yeah. Yeah.
In these set of films, they fuck that up. Because they completely balls all that up with, like, Khan and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
because the point is, Spock's big speech is that the purpose is to experience fear in the face of certain death, to accept that fear and maintain control of oneself and one's crew. This is a quality expected in every Starfleet captain. That's what he says. Mm. But actually, you're right. Kirk doesn't do that in this film. He gets beaten up. It's weird how often this Kirk gets beaten up. Like, repetitively, about, seven times, I'd say, throughout this film? He gets completely...
Well, he has got a punchable face.
He has got quite a punchable face.
But to be honest, I mean, Vulcans should absolutely mash up humans because they're about six times stronger or something, in canon.
Yeah.
They go through the test, which is quite cool, and then there's a distress call from Vulcan.
Yeah,
they're under attack, and then they have to deploy the fleet.
Yeah,
so they all go up to the... This sequence is good.
Yeah,
because they go up to the space station, and then the fleet launches. I like when you sort of see extra things which aren't explained. Yeah. That's what I love about. Yeah. That's when it's done well. You just see like extra things, like ships and things. You don't know what they are, but you see them all blasting off.
Yeah.
And the sound design is so excellent sort of shooting sound that they do. Like,
I think they get the scale really good, don't they? Rewind made. Like, everything feels...
They move like ships.
When they go in hangars and stuff like that, they're taller than just like my room. You know, like they look like hangars and things like that, don't they?
I will say, though, I think the engine room is just too big. Like, it looks... They use the brewery or something as the engine room. They use the Budweiser brewery. So all those tanks are beer.
Yeah.
And then they have to explain that the warp core is in, like, these 16 tanks that they eject at the end.
Oh.
So they have to try and retcon this room that they've hired. But it just looks...
That's what really happened.
Yes.
Okay.
That's because crazy. It's all like concrete floors and like gangways and stuff.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really look like that.
No.
And they always get like the turbo lifts going the wrong way and stuff like, you know, in the first ship, the hangar is below the bridge because the hangar's in that bottom bit.
Yeah.
And they literally shot where it shows... No, the hangar's above the saucer.
Yeah.
And there's literally a shot where the camera follows a turbo lift down a shaft and then it opens. And it's just like, if you go through so much trouble Yeah. Why don't you, like, yeah, at least make it work?
Yeah. Yeah.
But they do some good tricks where they get on the bridge and they go down and they come out into the something else, because they do that whole, like, holding the green screen up, doors closed type thing. Yeah. So it's quite clever. Yeah, so they get to... Oh, yeah, because What's-It can't fly the ship, they're a little bit delayed from the rest of the fleet.
I do like how they kind of... It goes on a bit too much, maybe, but I do like how they justify how each person's in each role. So, like, yeah. Sulu's there because someone else is sick. Do you know what I mean? Like, they kind of do... I know they are name-checking to get everyone in position, as it were. Like, yeah. Uhura gets on the bridge because she knows Romulan and the guy that was working doesn't. Like, but I do at least respect that they're trying to say, look, we know these guys are cadets and they shouldn't really be in these roles, but here's why they're in these roles.
But the only problem with that is, though, that, like, this is an alternate universe to the old one.
Yeah.
And none of this happened in the old one. So in the old one...
This is always the case, though, isn't it? Yeah. Whenever they show an alternate universe in Star Trek, it's the same ship, but with, like, evil writing on it. And it's like, how did the whole progression of history... come where it's the same design of the Enterprise, which is built for exploration, but you've just written, like, you know, you put like a chain and a fucking sword on it instead of
then we've got moustache.
Yeah.
But it would make a bit more sense, though, wouldn't it, if those people were actually in that role initially, because then you could say that in both timelines they excelled through academy and got placed to the same roles.
Yeah.
The fact that they don't get placed to those roles, and it's all by coincidence... It's just a bit like...
Well, Scotty...
Fake shit, innit?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I guess they're just kind of... Yeah, I didn't...
Because in the other universe, did they pick Scotty up off a snow planet by Vulcan?
No. Well, no, of course they didn't. No, he was always there.
They should all be in a class together, really.
They should be,
that would explain how they got together.
Yeah. And that no matter what happened to Kirk's bit of the timeline, their bit is the same in both ones. And that's why they get back on the crew
together. Yeah, that makes sense.
But you've got to have a bit of romantic fate in all of this, don't you?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
So Sulu does the thing wrong...
He's big. He's got that weird big, that silver. It's just like a silver, like, stick.
It's like a speedboat.
It's very odd. It's just that one little, like, throttle there. That's
They've got this throttle off a speedboat, and they put it on the ship. And then, so he fucks that up somehow, and then the rest of the fleet gets there.
Yeah.
Must be 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And also, this is the newest ship, so you think it'd have a bit more speed to catch up with the others, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Kirk knows there's something wrong.
Yeah,
because of his
birthday. Actual display. I quite like the bridge.
Yeah,
and I quite like. There's some good stuff going on the view screen. You always see, like, when they're in warp, it like things that they go past. It kind of boxes and tells you about it and stuff. And also, as they're coming up, it like flashes like, you know, warning and stuff. Like when they when they flash it, it's quite good. But yeah, they flash in, and then the rest of the other ships are all smashed up.
Yeah.
So that's quite a good sound design moment, isn't it, when it goes through that. And they realise there's this big ship, and they're about to blast the Enterprise, but he recognises the Enterprise, the bad captain.
Nero.
That's a bad character, that, I think.
He's crap.
He had a whole other storyline that they cut. It was like they showed him in like Klingon jail for like 20 years. That's how he spent the time.
I think he's doing a bad job. I don't like how he looks. I don't like how any of the baddies look. I don't believe in his arc. It all feels way too much like bloody Tom Hardy in Nemesis, which is really odd.
It feels like a Marvel villain to me.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it, that Nemesis tanked the whole thing and then they've gone for a villain that pretty much is the same... That feels
and also,
odd to me.
Romulans were always supposed to be like scheming, like senators and things. They were supposed to have like quite a
political,
imperialistic feel to them. These guys, I know they're like a different sect or whatever, but they're they.
You know when he contacts the Enterprise, comes on the screen, he's like, and Pike goes, "I'm Christopher Pike." And he goes, "Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero."
Yeah,
and that is so much like a Marvel reading, isn't it? Like, it's not an in-universe reading of that line at
all. I mean,
it's
totally... That was totally them just doing a read-through and not even shooting, and they used it.
Yeah. He's rubbish. He's
rubbish.
There's
no doubt.
And he doesn't
doubt that it was that was the messing about.
Yeah. No, he's a big problem with this.
Yeah.
It's kind of like everything's going on and it's kind of engaging and interesting and exciting, but you kind of... Like, I was almost like... I was getting on with it, but kind of ignoring all of that in a way. I was just kind of like, oh, well, that's the threat. But
to have a fully fleshed out bad guy may have been just a bit too much for this level of film,
I guess.
This style of film.
It's weird, isn't it? I mean, he's barely in it, which is a relief because he's no good. But it does mean that the last act is, I felt, really flat because there is no bad... I know there's a bad thing going on, but he's not like a Khan...
No.
...level of, you know, bad... He's not engaging at all, is he?
No.
It would have been better if he was more of like a Shakespearean... Like, how they were supposed to be... How Romulans are supposed to be. They're supposed to be...
Or if he was just in it more, you know? Like, maybe have him on board the Enterprise for a bit. Like, have a bit more interaction with him.
It would have been... I think what it would have been interesting to have him be something that is so alien they can't even almost understand his motivation.
Yeah. Like, not met yet.
Exactly. Something so... And it could still be after Spock, and it could still be the same setup that the planet was destroyed, but something almost ununderstandable that they just have to destroy because they can't really reason with it in any other way.
Or he had a technology which they haven't seen or something.
Yeah.
I guess his weapons are stronger, but that's all really, isn't it?
Yeah. Allegedly, again, in that comic, they say that ship has got Borg elements to it, and that's how it can regenerate, even though... Kelvin goes straight into it. It regenerates like a Borg.
Yeah, that annoyed me because that's the end of the film as well. Like, do they explain in the film how they survived that crash at the start? Or they never really say, do they? Do they?
What how
do
the ship does the Nero ship?
You know when Kirk Senior drives the ship into him.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what Spock does at the end of the film, and it works.
Yeah,
as Spock,
but Spock had all the red matter on board.
Yeah.
So it made the black hole, and in that
comic it says that ship has got Borg technology, therefore it can heal itself, which is a bit naff, but
So the ship's drilling into Vulcan.
Mm.
So we get this space jump scene.
Oh yeah. That's quite cool.
The memorable scene.
Yeah.
And we get the classic red shirt guy getting killed.
Yeah, it's funny. He doesn't. Why does he wait to pull his shoe? Doesn't really make sense, does it?
He's a mad bastard, isn't he?
Yeah.
Before they go off, and he's like, "I can't wait to get down there."
He's a cockney.
Yeah.
Is he a cockney?
I don't know. He's a bit. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
He's English.
Yeah. He's just a nutter, I guess.
They've always been English haters in Star Trek, really. Except Patrick Stewart, I guess.
Yeah.
They say he's French, don't they? Though. So.
Yeah.
I've got here for the space jump scene. The actors were initially filmed on harnesses facing downwards. However, they constantly passed out from the rush of blood to their head. So they basically had to film it. The actors standing on mirrors so that when it was shot from an angle, the reflection of sky behind them gave the appearance. I love the idea that they tried for probably a few goes. They're just like, he's passed out again. We can't do it. We should probably think of another way of doing this, shouldn't we?
It's a good effect though.
It looks cool. Yeah.
I
like how all the suits different colours as well.
Yes.
Yeah. I know it's just for a gag, but it's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah. It's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So they do that. We figure out that Scotty... Have we got Scotty?
No, Scotty's not in it yet.
I thought he did the beaming back. Oh, Chekhov did it, didn't he?
Chekhov for me in this film is absolutely awful.
Well, in all of the ones, they just don't use him.
I really like...
He's dead now.
I really like the actor. I really like... what's his name?
He's good in Curb.
Oh, was he in Curb?
He was in Curb.
Yeah, you know that one where... He's like Cheryl's nephew, and he's doing the magic tricks.
Oh yes, that was him.
Anton Yelchin.
Larry's trying to get the trick off him.
Yeah.
I really like him. I think he's been in some good films as well, and I think it's very sad that he's dead. I guess it's a decision, isn't it? I guess it's the decision to go down the hole. You can't say the V's. Everything sounds like a W. It feels a bit racist, doesn't it? In a weird way.
It's just like that's his one characteristic is he can't talk properly.
And also very clever and young.
Yeah. But also, isn't it that in the original Star Trek, it was quite forward to have a Russian, to have a Russian on board.
That was the reason.
Yeah, it was like quite like, oh, wow, this is the future because, we're with them. And that kind of made it less racist. But now it's a bit like this just comes across as a bit like a weird cliche, kind of weird stereotype.
I just don't like him. I don't like the actor. I mean, I know he's dead, but I can still say he's not any good. And he wasn't. I don't think he's any good. No. R.I.P.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that gets me with the economy here of Star Trek is whenever Star Trek is like Starfleet against any like other race, I guess it's like they should absolutely pound them because Starfleet is supposed the Federation is supposed to be a super like culture of so many resources of different planets, and they always come up against like a single.
So it's like you say, it's either that Nero's just wiped out what like 500 ships and he's killed billions of people, like loads of people, all those ships he's wiped out, or they didn't send that many. So why didn't they send that many? Because they've got, surely the Federation has ships everywhere.
And the next step is he's going to Earth, but the Federation was founded by Earth and Vulcan and a couple of other planets. Vulcan and Earth should be have parity in terms of their defence systems within the centre of the Federation.
Really. Which should have spread out enough.
They're always quite racist in the sense of, like, we're going to protect Earth. But it's like, well, Vulcans were more developed than humans.
Yeah.
They get into that a bit in DS9, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of very Earth first.
Yeah. And people but, you know, the what's it in the bad guys in DS9, that was the first time it was like a multi-race empire against the Federation, what are they called? The Dominion.
Dominion, yeah.
So that made sense, but this doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
They destroy Vulcan. They manage to... Oh, Spock's mother is killed.
Yeah, Winona Ryder.
Just sad moment.
Badly cast. Really. It's kind of funny because the dad is such a great casting as a Vulcan. He looks Sarek looks fantastic. And then you've got Winona Ryder opposite him.
It's weird.
What's she doing there?
No,
it's very strange.
Weird, isn't it? No, I don't know why.
That guy who plays Sarek, he's not even much. I know his face kind of. He's so Vulcan.
Who is he?
Yeah.
He's
Ben Cross, his name is.
Yeah.
He was in Chariots of Fire and First Night. There you go. Winona Ryder's rubbish, and she's just kind of there to die, isn't she?
She really is.
Basically.
Rubbish in everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Spock, they have a fight. They have a fight. Spock maroons Kirk on Delta Vega.
Hmm. Yes.
So, I was trying to figure out where this place is, because they show a shot where... Spock's looking up and seeing Vulcan collapse from the side.
Yeah.
So is this a moon of Vulcan or something?
It's pretty big in the sky, isn't
it? He did it deliberately. Nero put him there deliberately so he could watch Vulcan be destroyed.
But that moon is just going to fly off into space now, right? Because there's no centre of mass where it... Oh, I guess the black hole.
Yeah.
It must be pretty close though, because Vulcan is huge, isn't it, when they show it in the sky?
Well, it would be like the moon. They've put him on the moon of Vulcan. Weird. So there Kirk discovers the old Spock.
Spock Prime.
Spock Prime. And everyone goes whoop, whoop, whoop. We see Spock Prime.
It's a pity he's so old he can't talk properly anymore, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's kind of lost his voice a bit, hasn't he? He's two, like 5 years earlier, I think he would have been a better role.
He's still got good patter though, hasn't he?
Yeah, I guess.
Good Spock patter.
You know that bit when he's on Delta Vega and he's getting chased for that big thing?
Oh, I fucking hate those J.J. Abrams creatures.
Yeah. When they filmed that, they used a child as a stand-in for Chris Pine to make it look larger. I just love the idea that there was a...
Classic
it's just a kid dressed in a little costume, like, running across a...
Like, they first did that in Alien.
Did they do that, really?
You know, when they're going into the space jockey set.
Yeah.
They put all the kids in spacesuits.
That bit's especially annoying because you just don't fucking hear it, do you? Like, in Star Wars, at least, it makes sense because they're known for having stupid creatures. You don't need to put those into this film.
And it's a long film anyway. You don't need to make it longer.
It was never really part of canon, was it, in Star Trek to have that sort of thing?
No, not at all.
No.
Anyway, so we find out about Spock, the story. I think the whole telling the story is great.
That the sound, the audio effects on that is amazing.
Oh, it's really cool. The voices, when he mind melds and he's I like how that's all done and the echoes and the way there's you're seeing it is really good. Yeah,
there's like one line, maybe two lines, where they just do it in the back speakers really, really quietly.
Yeah,
you know, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, it's like he's like whispering like this in your ear.
Yeah,
and I think it's really like bold to like, to not have everything up front all the time. And
no,
it's
really
well
done.
Really
I agree. Yeah. It's very well done.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, so basically they explain how history was split off and what they need to do. And then they meet Scotty.
Yeah, he's been abandoned there as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, with that annoying little thing that he's got with him.
Yeah, see, I hate all this. Why is he there?
I mean, he is a real weak link.
And he's fucking shit. He's really annoying. Little mate shit as well.
Yeah, no, that's all very annoying. I don't think it's you don't need that kind of comedy. There is comedy within it. You don't need more comedy at this point.
Was Scotty the comedy element of the old crew? I'm not sure.
He kind of is in the later films, isn't he? If you think about like
the aluminium bit, the
Voyage Home.
Oh, I mean that. I want to see that rebooted. That scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just that.
Yeah.
Computer.
Computer.
It kind of, yeah, but it doesn't.
He's not comic relief in. What's the one where he brings that dead lad up to the bridge? Is that Rathacar?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
not. He's not comic relief in that one.
That's true. No, it just does. It's not needed. It's bad casting. It's not needed. Should have got someone else in it. It would have been better.
Yeah, well, like it's Star Trek. You don't stunt cast someone as themselves. I know he's doing a Scottish accent, but like Simon Pegg is Simon Pegg, isn't he? You can't get away from that. You don't need it. Like they should be. These actors should be melting into the roles because these characters already exist.
Yeah.
So we want to see Scotty. We don't want to see Simon Pegg.
No.
You know what I mean? Like
no.
It's really bad casting.
No.
Well, when he gets involved in the writing of them, that's when they really go down the nick. So then he's figured out a way of beaming onto the Enterprise when it's at warp, which I don't understand.
Also, the implication is that Scotty invented this, so they had this technology all through all of the old Star Trek.
And he never mentioned it. Annoying.
They never ever used it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Unless in this universe, this is sort of his obsession, and it wasn't in the other.
Because he didn't know, does he? And Spock chose not to do it. Spock goes, oh, this is your calculation. Old Spock.
Right. Yeah, old Spock.
Because he knows from the old universe.
Yeah.
Right.
Also,
so you just told Spock and no one else? Like what?
It is so. At this point, old Spock says, "Classic time travel rules. I can't meet myself because I'll explode like in Time Cop, or we'll melt into some goo or something. So I can't meet myself. So you have to go on your own, even though me being there would completely prove what's going on and explain it all.
Yeah, I mean, even just take a recording, like a video.
Yeah. So you have to go on your own." And also, you have to cause me to have a mental breakdown so that you get control over the ship. And then in the end, we find out that he's only done this so they'll be best mates or something. Yeah. It's completely stupid.
It's stupid at the start.
Yeah.
The end is even more stupid. It's like Spock's read the script, isn't it?
Because
I hate that scene.
Because it's not even, there wasn't ever a reason. He could have gone up on the ship. He could have explained it all very quickly and simply. Spock non-prime, Spock Delta or whatever, would have believed it because he's logical and he'd have understood it and they would be the same person. And they would have fast-forwarded straight through to defeating Nero. It's such a weird, like, oh, I just wanted you guys to be pals. Like, it was... Yeah. It's like a bit like parent... It's like a parent trap or something. Like,
I think it's also, like, Leonard Nimoy is really, really old and doesn't appear to be able to talk for more than a minute without, like, collapsing or something.
Yeah.
So they had to get him... Yeah. They had to shuffle him off. They couldn't bring him on the Enterprise because he was...
I guess.
Wasn't up to it.
But even, like Chris said, even just if he'd... They'd made a recording. He's like, take this recording. And then when they did the warp on, because of the warp, when you're in whatever, you know, you transport in warp, it actually destroyed the recording. And something silly, I think like that would have been better.
It's annoying as well, because that last scene, I think they're so clever by saying, oh, we know you think it's weird you didn't talk to him. Well, let us explain to you it's all a big trick.
Yeah, well,
you just don't need it, do you? It just makes it even more stupid.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, they kind of needed another reason why Spock didn't go and help save the day.
Yeah definitely.
And also, it's like they're so desperate to get Kirk to be the captain just to prove that he's the captain.
I mean, he is a different Kirk as well. It's like he's less educated than the old Kirk, probably less good at the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he shouldn't really be the captain.
Yeah. Yeah, so they have the fight, and then Spock relieves himself to let Kirk be the captain, I guess.
It's mum stuff again, isn't it? He says, you never loved your mum.
Yeah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
and he beats the shit out of Kirk on the bridge.
Yeah.
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 Which you should just throw him straight through the window. Like, yeah, it's like... anyway, so then they, all of a sudden, the Enterprise is now capable of killing... The bad guys.
Yeah.
Seems.
Yeah, I don't get it.
No.
You know when they go to Earth, right?
Yeah.
And they get there, and the guy's put his big anchor down into the Earth.
Mm.
Is the implication that every other ship has been taken out, destroyed?
I think so, yeah. Because where's that space dock gone, and where's the...
Why are there no other defences?
Because that little thin chain that Spock just shoots... away, why couldn't any other ship in orbit just do what he does to the big chain?
You think they would have better defences than this in general?
Yeah.
I know even if they hadn't, advanced. Like, just send a ship out.
And they don't even, like you say, they don't even, in normal Star Trek, they'd have something where, oh, the fleet's been deployed over to wherever on a false errand, so no one is actually around. We're the only ones.
Yeah.
It is a bit weird.
Really weak, isn't it?
Yeah, why doesn't Earth have any kind of...
You're telling me the centre of the whole fucking galaxy, there's not one ship left that can blow up this tiny little chain? You know?
Yeah.
That a runabout blows up?
Yeah.
It's really dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could just fly a shuttle into it or something. Like, what?
Well, also, it's going into the ground, isn't it? So, like, on ground level, just fucking chop it off from the ground.
Well, it's a beam, the last bit, isn't it?
Oh, from the platform?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
But you could just literally just fly a shuttle into it and warp core breach it.
Exactly, yeah.
So we see the ship, Spock's ship, turn up, blast it. I like when the Enterprise goes into the Titan clouds. It warps in.
Yeah.
And it comes up. That's quite good. Yeah.
We get to find out Uhura's first name.
Yeah. What's her first name?
Nyota.
Nyota. Nyota. Yes. Nyota is a Swahili word for star. It was first used in 1982 and is often used in printed Star Trek literature, including...
It was never said in anything, was it?
No, including the DC Comics publication Who's Who is Star Trek. Though some materials have also used Samara and Penda as her first name. Mm. So, yeah, it is the first time... They've said her name.
They're fleshing out the character more in that TV series now, Strange New Worlds.
Oh, are they? Oh, that's good.
Yeah. They just start attacking it, and then the Spock ship flies in and blows the whole lot up.
Yeah.
And the black hole forms.
Oh, yeah, they get Pike out of the whatever he's in, like the bit of water he's in.
Yeah, it's nice to rescue him, isn't
it?
Yeah.
I don't like the ship at all. I think
that Pike was there.
That joke's quite funny when Scotty says, "I'll beam you to where logically will be the cargo bay of the ship," and they basically end up beaming to the bridge of the ship, and then they just get shot at straight away. Yeah. I think that's quite a good joke, and that's fine. Pike gets saved.
It's all too. It feels like a fight in the first third of the film, not a final act fight.
No, and like you say, because you don't care about Nero, there's no...
There's nothing... No. The stakes is not really there.
Maybe we should have seen it like toasting a load of other ships when it got to Earth and...
Something.
Just blowing up the space dock or something.
Yeah, just something.
Yeah, shows a space battle with like other ships and stuff. Yeah. I don't know.
It would have been good to see the Starfleet like attacking it somehow.
Mobilising.
Then they set off the red matter, opens the wormhole, the black hole... sucks it in, and then they try and escape from it, and then the only way to escape is to release the brewery.
Yeah, that seems like a pointless...
Eject the brewery.
...extra bit of peril that's not needed as well.
Eject the brewery.
It's like scrabbling around, trying to find something that's interesting for the end, and none of it really lands, I don't think.
But that's your lot.
That's your lot. And then we end with Kirk's in command... Spock becomes first officer.
You know what was funny about that? You know that scene where Kirk gets promoted? Obviously, all through the film, the camera has been drunk, you know, at Dutch angles all the way through. He's obsessed with it. Mm. And even when they go to, like, Starfleet Academy, they're on land. It's a bunch of people just in, like, a theatre. The camera's still swooshing about like it's in space. It needs to fucking calm down, that Abrams.
Yeah.
That was I going to say about, like, I like the way the lens flare looks and the... Production design is great. I think the direction of it is all over the place. I hate this like sweeping angled shot that just happens over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, do it once, establish that we're in space. Now just calm down. Just let us watch the film for a bit. You know.
Well, they're trying to inject some, like, because Star Trek was always like submarine warfare.
Yeah.
But they're trying to inject some like Star Wars.
Energy, that's the problem.
And that's what's funny is because then when they started remaking the Star Wars films, they had no energy. Like, there was no energy in any of those dogfights in the new films.
Yeah.
It was terrible. They literally had bombers slowly moving over a fucking over a Star Destroyer and dropping bombs like it was bloody Dambusters. It's ridiculous.
Do you not miss the static wide shot of the bridge, though, and everyone just, like, standing around talking?
Yeah.
I miss that.
But you can't get the sense of the scale if you're moving around so much, and you can't get the geography.
Yeah, it is all too close up. Everyone's always, like, it's as though they stood, like... Like, here, I'm Kirk, right, and that's Spock, and he's, like, talking into my ear. They're always, like, sort of out, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, it is a bit like...
But actually, yeah, I guess it's kind of reminiscent of how they used to... Because if you watch, like, TNG, everyone's so close because of the aspect ratio of TV.
Mm.
Like...
I guess.
But, yeah, you're right. It's they use... All the weapons are like... Pew, pew, pew. When Star Trek was supposed to be like beams and stuff, wasn't it? It's supposed to be slower and...
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so that's your lot.
Did you both like the direction of it?
It didn't bother me as much as it bothered you.
I think it had energy, and I think it did what it needed to do to revitalize the what it was.
Yeah,
yeah.
For that, for a new audience, I think it.
Yeah.
I think it did so much better a job than Force Awakens did.
Yeah.
Because it was real, like, new story. It was real new ideas and. Cleverly written, how they've, like, it the arcing of how this connects with that and that, and also taking people along for the road. It's quite a complicated idea if you've never seen Star Trek before.
And I think now we are in a reboot, reimagining, re-everything world. I think it's good to look at this now to go, actually, this is a good way to do it. There's been a lot of things
now we're just in idiot land where they literally just make another Ghostbusters same script but with like a more diverse cast and it's like that is not creative.
No I think it is more they're trying harder in this than they have you know.
I agree with that to a point, but there are a lot of scenes in this film that are like Star Trek Discovery and stuff where a character just stands still and explains to you the plot. Like, there's a few times in Spock's like, so let me just tell you what's going on. He's in another universe, he's me, I'm here. Like, it must be a time paradox. And there's a few bits like that where it's like catching the audience up. And Discovery is so guilty that every episode, like every other bit of line is like regurgitating the plot. So I'm guessing that's the Kurtzman in the script. You know what I mean? Like, that's him there maybe. But so that sort of stuff's very clunky. I don't like that kind of thing at all.
No.
It's not all good, I think.
Cool. Well, also I think it would have been better if Ricky Gervais would have taken a role in the film that he was offered.
What was the role?
I don't know what he was supposed to do.
That's weird.
But he says may have been. Yeah.
Oh dear. I don't know. That would have been, imagine him as Scotty. That
he was Kirk.
God. Oh God.
It was probably Shatner that said no to that.
Yeah.
Cool. Right. So we shall. Rank this one. Put it in the...
Get it in the...
I think it's up there in terms of... You know, for me, I think it's top half for Star Trek films.
Yes.
It's a good one, I think.
Yes.
It's not as good as I remember it. But I think that what came after it has kind of soured it a bit for me. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Shame. It's all
definitely,
right.
Yeah.
But I think I would watch probably all of the ones before it. Before this again.
The later TNG ones, I think, are boring as fuck.
Yeah, they are. I think unlike some things we've watched where you go, right, it's because of this, everything went like that. And I don't know you can say that with this. I don't think it's this film's fault that Discovery is like it is.
Yeah,
maybe there's elements of it, or maybe, like you say, the writers are, you did such a great job with that, do what you want. I don't think this brought in a load of things that then, like, they just kept copying. I think, like you say, there is some creativity there, there's some good ideas. Some of the actors are doing a pretty good job to give different interpretations. You know, it's...
I just think, for me, 5 and 10 are the only two I wouldn't watch ahead of this.
Which is, the God one. Is that the God one?
Final Frontier and Nemesis are definitely worse.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
The rest I'd probably watch before this. But I think that's not on qualitative terms. That's just because I like old Star Trek.
No, and also you feel like you've got more of a connection with the... I mean, they said the marketing... They said that the marketing of this was really difficult, and they basically had to... He was... I think it says J.J. Abrams was out there basically saying, oh, I don't even like Star Trek. This isn't even for Star Trek fans. This is for people who've never even heard of Star Trek. And they were almost like negging Star Trek because they were so scared that they wanted it to be good and wanted it people to watch it, and they were so scared of all the associations. And I think actually they had to go a bit against that and go, right, he's gone a bit too far. It's still for Star Trek fans as well. But I think
they
were
just feel ironic.
Yeah, I think they're paranoid about almost admitting it is a Star Trek film, like you know.
It does feel ironic, which is a shame. Like it feels like, as you say, not really for the fans.
No.
Anyway. So, science within the Star Trek universe, it's pretty good. I mean, that transwarp beaming, whatever it's called, is not good.
No, the drill is the drill. I mean, the drill's a bit stupid.
That drill's plausible, I think. Yeah,
yeah, but it's a stupid weapon. But yeah,
I think I've seen more implausible things in Star Trek. So
yeah, true.
Like I'd say a 7 or 8 on this.
Yes, yeah,
7.
Okay.
Yeah,
craft. I think it was all great.
Yeah, good. Like,
we know the sound design's fantastic.
Brilliant.
Costume,
yeah,
art.
Yeah.
Like, this is a proper thought-out reboot, isn't it?
Yeah.
They haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say probably in like a 9 on that.
Yeah, I think a 9. Yeah. 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 It's really, really well made.
Art, I mean, I think the script and the writing is good.
Yeah.
I think it's not too long, like all of these films normally are. Normally, there's an extra act, which you don't need.
No, lots happens.
This is tight as fuck, really. Yeah. And it's quite... I like it.
Yeah, no, it's not too bad, and the score's okay. I like that they hold.
I don't think the score's okay,
but they hold the real theme off until the end, which I like.
And then ruin it by putting stupid, like a big minor bit in the middle of it. I don't think it's very good at all. And that theme, that it's just like a Star Wars theme with a few notes changed.
I guess. Yeah.
I mean, we have to agree to disagree here. For me, this would be a flat 5, but I'm guessing you two would go higher.
A bit higher. I think it looks interesting. 6 or 7.
I think it's like really creative for what it is. And I mean, I really put creativity quite high in all this because it's doing new things.
Yeah, considering.
Considering.
Yeah, but I don't like the new things it's doing, though.
Yeah, but you can say it's... Well, no, what I'm saying is I put weight on it being new. Stuff like I put far more weight on the creativity of just having new ideas because I just think that's like real. You just don't get that anymore.
No, I
like,
agree. Yeah, no, I agree.
Fair enough.
Considering what it is a reboot. It is someone saying, "Do this all again," and they could have just gone, "Sure, we'll literally just remake Wrath of Khan then," like they did in the next one. It does get a bit more. I agree with Chris. Okay. It gets a bit more for
so
that.
7.
7's...
I'd accept a 7.
7's good, yeah. Yep. Is it significant? I don't know, not really.
I think it's significant in Star Trek, and I think it's also significant in this sort of multiverse sort of mentality.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm. You don't get the new Star Wars with J.J. Abrams without these, for better or worse.
Well, that put it down in my book.
Yeah, that's not a good thing, yeah. 5?
I think it's a 6, isn't it? Because like there's a lot of Star Trek now, and all of that is because of this. Because it was absolutely dead before this
true.
Came
okay,
out.
Okay, true.
It
did bring it all back. Yeah, true. Yeah.
So I think a 6.
Okay.
Not the first in a franchise. It's not Poppins. Let's tilt it. 3, 2, 1, tilt. I gave it a 5. Alex gave it 6, and Chris gave it an 8.
Five's a bit low.
I'm not that, I don't know.
You're not that keen.
It was all right. I just miss, I think the older I get, the more like I'm becoming like on this boring,
I guess,
nostalgia.
Yeah, I guess ultimately because they are the same characters, they're almost, they're mostly saying to you, aren't they, like, here's the old characters. So if you like the old characters, you're going to go, well...
But also, I don't really like those characters anyway. Like, I don't really like TOS characters.
Ooh,
it's number 8 in the list anyway.
Above South and Tales. That's a bit upsetting for you there.
Above All Sorts, above Arrival, above Godzilla. Yeah. It's done
all right. It's done all right.
All right, then. That has put it in number 8 in our charts. And next week, we are doing... What are we doing next week?
Ghostbusters
2. In honour of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Which was out.
Which, can't say
which
that
I have seen.
And me, I've seen too.
And you. Well, we'll discuss that too then. Yeah. Mini spoiler cast next week as well.
Cool. Yeah, so that is goodbye from me.
Live long and prosper.
Live long.
And I've got correspondence.
Oh, well, actually, yeah, go on there. Then.
Open hailing frequencies.
Right. classically late as ever.
Yeah.
So this is about a Zardos episode.
Oh,
yeah.
Lisa, this is from Scott.
Current affairs.
Who said, can't tell you how excited I was to hear that you finally reviewed one of my favourite movies. I'm sure he says somewhere. He asked for it like literally years ago.
Oh, wow. well done for keep listening. Good for him. I mean, it shows you that we do deliver, even if it is years later.
What sort of sad fucker do you have to be to...
Don't do this! Chris, don't do this!
Okay, go.
What, to listen, to keep listening? That's really good. Right, granted, so he says, granted, the movie suffers from many things, including the acting inabilities, in brackets, of Connery and the freewheeling costume design, not to mention the incomprehensible story and the insane plot elements. Also, misogyny.
Yeah.
Unnecessary nudity, amateur cast, and almost incompetent direction.
But
behind all of this is a tiny story that Borman wanted to tell about society in search of comfort and relief from any responsibility and how that leads to collapse.
Yeah.
Which I think...
Yeah, we said there was some interesting ideas in there.
I'm glad he could point that out because I didn't really see it, but that's fair enough, yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, thanks for accepting my recommendation from years ago. and I look forward to reviewing... Mutant Chronicles with Ron Perlman.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
Or Hands of Steel with John Saxon. Ooh, do you know either of those?
No.
Know
either of those
two. I mean, it's pretty amazing that someone suggested that film, and then years later, we actually got round to doing it. And then they listened to that one too.
Good.
Well, what are the chances to that? But people listen to every episode. We've got fans that go back to the start.
Oh, well.
I will say, though, I don't think we watched it because he recommended it. I think Alex and I were talking about it separately.
Okay.
Because this is so long ago, we've forgotten all about this. It's just a happy accident that we happened to watch it.
Right,
so.
Yeah. But
cheers, Scott.
That Thanks said, now, Thanks, if Scott. Someone wants to send us a request, we'll definitely do it.
We'll definitely
hopefully
do it
within a year, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, listen for Mutant Chronicles review in like 2028 or whatever. That's what we'll get around
to. That doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Cool. Well, if that's everything, then I'll say live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper. Say it in that snarky way that he says it when he's on Vulcan. Live long and prosper.
Yeah, live long and prosper.
Bye.
Bye.